The devil tempted Eve. He denied God's word. He sowed the seeds of doubt in the woman's heart. She succumbed to the temptation. She ate of the forbidden fruit and fell into sin. And she brought the fruit to Adam, and he ate and fell into sin. The human race was thrown into rebellion against God, into sin, and into death. And when God confronted Adam and Eve with their sinfulness, instead of confessing their sins, they passed the buck. Right? They passed the buck. And yet God, in His infinite mercy, had already planned their eternal salvation and the eternal salvation of their progeny. And so, even in their guilt, even in their weakness, even when they were at their worst, God gave them a promise that the seed of the woman would defeat the devil on behalf of sinful man. The seed of the woman is the Messiah, the Christ, and the Messiah will defeat Satan on behalf of sinful man. This is what Jesus came into the world to be and to do. He is the Savior of the world, the Christ, the Son of God, and He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now listen, on the last day, the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and everything that loves and maketh a lie shall be cast alive into the lake of fire. But those who trust in Christ, those who in their baptism are marked with the cross of Christ and the joy of His victory, they will shine forever in the kingdom of glory. That means you and me. Meanwhile, things are not often so rosy. In the text here, St. Paul tells us that we have an entire hierarchy of demons who desire nothing more than the destruction of our faith and our eternal damnation. The devil knows that he is doomed. The demons know that their time is short. Their design is to take as many of us with them to their destruction as they can. And so, listen, hidden behind the scenes in the daily life of this world, there is a horde of demonic spirits who are bent on the destruction of the human race, and particularly the perdition of Christian believers. Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." He's not talking about politicians, although sometimes you wonder. He's not talking about your neighbor. He's talking about demons, devil and his angels. And all of these demons desire your damnation. And they practice upon you with their wiles. Notice that in verse 11. To stand against the wiles of the devil. like Wile E. Coyote, all right? The wiles of the devil are his tricks. They are his strategies. Interesting. The Greek word there for wiles is methodias. Methodias, where we get the word method from. Method. So to stand against the methods, the strategies, the plans, and the tricks of the devil. Now, listen, this would sound utterly, utterly panic-invoking and terrible if it weren't for the fact that you in your baptism and in your faith in Jesus are under the holy protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil can't do anything in your life without the permission of Jesus Christ. So that the only things that can happen to you at the hands of the devil are the things that Jesus permits the devil to do, so that you may be tested and tried. But the devil cannot touch you. The book of James, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil fears and hates the word of God. The devil hates the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. When you stand firm in the truth of the gospel, you frustrate the devil at every turn. You know how back in the old days you used to watch those horror movies? Dracula, right? And Dracula would be looming up, and then old Van Helsing would whip out the crucifix and hold it out, and Dracula would go, ha! And turn away in horror because he couldn't face the crucifix. Well, in a way, that's kind of what you live under the cross of Christ. You live in the victory of Jesus. You live in the power of redemption. And therefore, the devil fears you. And the devil is, if you use the tools that God gives you, he will flee. So the devil, you ever have one of those dogs in your neighborhood that every time you ever walk by, he's out in his yard and he's all fenced in and he can't get you, but he just loves to scare you to death? You know those dogs? Their whole plan in life, the one joy that they have in their life, is to scare you to death. And so they act like they're not even there. They're in a bush someplace, right? And just when you think you've gotten by, all of a sudden they come screaming out of the bushes, ruff, 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 and you're like, whoa! And the dog goes, right? He runs back into the bushes, right? Because that's his whole joy in life, is to scare you to death. Well, the devil is kind of like God's bad dog, right? And he loves to undermine your faith. But when you're wise and when you're vigilant, when you're prayerful, watchful, and in the Word, the devil can't get a toehold in your life. And that's what St. Paul is driving at today. He says, yes, the devil is a powerful adversary, and there are many of them, and they've got all kinds of tricks up their sleeve. But you have at your disposal the power of God, the strength of God, and the armor of God. Paul says, the devil is no match for you in God's power. The devil is no match for you when you put on God's armor. Now, what is the armor of God? The armor of God is the armor which God provides. That's what it means. God doesn't need armor for himself. So it's not like God takes his own personal armor off and lends it to you and says, now make sure you give this back to me, right? God's armor, it means the armor that God gives. And what is that armor? Well, let's take a look. First of all, why do we need to put on the armor? Verse 11 says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See that word stand? You may be able to stand against. Let's look at the next verse, verse 12. We wrestle. Oh man. Not only do we have to stand against the wiles of the devil, we have to wrestle. Life is a wrestling match. But that's not all. Look at verse 13. In verse 13 it says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Oh, so there's going to be evil days, and I've got to withstand an assault. And having done all, to stand. And then finally, look at verse 14. Stand therefore. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you seen the word stand repeated so many times ever before in your life? So do you get the idea that maybe God is telling us through the words of St. Paul here that we are expected to stand against the attacks of the devil? So we are to take upon ourselves the armor of God. We are to stand against the devil. And when all is said and done and the battlefield is cleared, we're still standing. Why? Because we have put on ourselves the whole armor of God. All right, what is that armor of God? Paul is under house arrest in the city of Rome. Right outside of his door, there is a fully uniformed Roman soldier. He's got the helmet on his head. He's got the breastplate on his chest. He's got the big belt around his waist. He's got the shoes on his feet. And he's got the sword and the shield. And he's standing outside of Paul's door while Paul is sitting in his house. And he's writing the letter to the Ephesians. And Paul sees this Roman soldier there, decked out in his battle dress. And Paul says, you know, that's kind of like us Christians. God has given us armor. He has given us defensive and offensive weapons. So he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. This is your loins, all right? Your midsection. And gird your loins with truth. What does that mean? It means to know and to believe the words of the Christian faith. It means to be grounded in the Christian doctrine of Jesus. It means to be one who studies and who applies to themselves the truth of the Holy Gospel. You know, especially nowadays when we are becoming an illiterate civilization. People don't read anymore. Everything has to come in the form of pictures. And so, you know, attention spans are shrinking, 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 shrinking. And yet, we are called upon as Christians to be in the Word. To be reading, studying, and applying the Word to our life so that our believing and our thinking and our planning in life may be in accord with the Holy Word of God. And so when it says here to gird your loins with truth, to put the belt of truth around your waist, it means to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then the devil cannot attack you in your midsection, the seat of your emotions. Then it says in second place, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I can't tell you how many times during the week I read a commentary that said the breastplate of righteousness was the Christian's personal righteous life. And I kept saying to myself, you know, no matter how good I am, you know, there are those odd weeks when I'm exceptionally good, you know. They don't come very often. But every once in a while, I have a week where I'm pretty good, you know. But, you know, the devil is always able to find the chink in your armor. He's always able to see what you don't even see. And therefore, if you are to protect yourself against the attacks of the devil, you need something more than your own personal holiness and your own personal righteousness, because he can see right through that. You need something that he cannot assail. And that is the righteousness of faith, the righteousness of the gospel, the holy imputed righteousness of Christ. You see, Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. He lived and died for you so that he might make an exchange. And the exchange goes like this. I'll take all of your sins and I'll place them on myself. And in return, I will give you all of my righteousness. And this is the big exchange that takes place. Christ has taken away our sins, and his righteousness has been imputed or credited to those who believe. This is such an astounding truth that even many Lutherans don't believe it. It's so astounding that an entire denomination of people, the Roman Catholic Church, says that anybody who does believe this is under God's curse. And you didn't know that, did you? That the Roman Catholic Church says that all people who believe in the gospel are cursed. Yeah, but it does. And because everybody feels, you know, I need to put a little of myself in there. But listen, as good as you ever get, and it's not that great in God's eyes, as good as you ever get, you are no match for the devil's accusations. So you need something that the devil cannot attack. And the devil cannot attack the righteousness of Christ. And the righteousness of Christ is imputed or credited or reckoned to you freely by faith in Jesus Christ. And the devil can only stand there helpless when you have on that breastplate. He's helpless against it. Then it says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace means that through Jesus, you have peace with God. That is, you used to be God's enemy when you were outside the pale of redemption. But you were baptized. You were converted. You were brought to the faith. And now you are friends of the Lord God. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe the gospel, you have a gracious God in the midst of your trials. And then he says, take the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This is what the devil is doing. He is throwing flaming arrows at you constantly. He's tempting you to sin. All right? He's tempting you to violate. And this is what he does. Number one, he tempts you to sin. He uses your own desires, your own sinful desires, and he fans them and he tempts you to sin. Then, when you resist it, he convinces you that sins are really attractive and you really need to do this. Just like he did with Eve. She said, oh, look, this fruit is so pretty. And it's got to be nutritious. This is nutrition itself. Why should I deprive myself of a beautiful, nutritious thing? And if I get wisdom in the bargain, what's the loss in that? And so she convinces herself, while the devil fans the flames, she convinces herself that evil is good and good is evil. You see? And that's what the devil does. And then when you sin, he goes, ha! And you thought that you were a Christian. You thought that you were winning. You thought, oh, but you thought wrong. You are no Christian. You have no right to expect God's grace. You are just a bum like every other bum. So first he tempts you to sin. Then when you sin, he accuses you of your sins and he condemns you for your sins, and you're left floundering spiritually. Alright? He's throwing darts at you. The other thing that the devil does is he sends false teaching and lies in your direction. He tells you that what is really isn't and what isn't really is. He is a liar and the father of lies. And he throws the darts of lies and heresies and false doctrines at you. But it says, through faith in the Word of God, through faith in Christ, you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yeah. Coming around the home stretch, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation means that you know that you now are saved, that you have been redeemed, that you are heaven bound, and that all your troubles in this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You are headed for glory, and the helmet is the reminder of that, that you are saved. And when you put on the helmet of salvation, the devil cannot assault your head. Because you know, one of the things he does is try to convince you that no intelligent modern person would believe in the crazy things that are in the Bible. Right? He does that. He does that through the world of intellectuals. He does it through the so-called world of science. By the way, the King James Version tells us to beware of science falsely so-called. There's a thing that masquerades as science, but it is only so-called science, and we should not allow it to fool us and to rip us away from our faith. Finally, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All you've got to do is quote the Scriptures and believingly take your stand upon the Word of God, and the devil will flee from you. It's like Jesus in the wilderness. Every time the devil tempted him, what did Jesus do? Quoted the Scriptures. And what happened? Get thee hence, Satan. And the devil left him defeated. Jesus wins, the devil loses, and so it is with you. You have all these defensive weapons. You have one offensive weapon, which is the Word of God. And when you use that word, the devil cannot bear it, and he flees from you. So, you've got a tall order. You've got this horde of enemies standing against you. And you are called by God to stand in the midst of this battle and wrestle. But you don't stand alone. You stand in the armor that God gives, in the power that God gives, in the might of the Lord God to whom you are united. And that is good news in the midst of our trials. Amen.